Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Everybody is waiting for your words on Eagles, Niners, River Island's guest line. Let's not waste any time. NFL Films, the best.
I'm actually surprised you guys are there because I thought you might be playing linebacker this week for the Niners.
I love it, Greg. That's very good material. And luckily, we're not. But I don't know if we know who is.
I'm heavy enough, but not quite strong enough, sadly.
It appears that in their nickel, it appears it'll be Kendricks and Wallo to start. We'll see what happens, I guess, after that.
I mean, can we start there? Kendricks and Wallo. Like, what have you seen from them on tape? And can you share anything that feels optimistic to a Niner fan about what they can do?
You know, that's a hard question. I mean, Kendricks played in the league a long time. I don't think he played poorly last week when he had to play meaningful snaps. Wallo played as well. You know, it's funny. I forget what year Wallo came out, but I did him when he came out of college. You know, you're down to, in a sense, street free agents. And, you know, sometimes that happens at this time of year and you got to make do. I would imagine they'll play as they did in the second half last week. I imagine they'll play a lot of big nickel and they'll play Pinnick as their third safety, which is, as I said, what they've done, you know, at times this year and certainly last week once the injury started to pile up at linebacker. But, you know, you're playing with guys who are not your starters. They're street free agents. You know, what I don't know is I don't know if that means that Robert Saleh has to simplify things. And, you know, these are the things we're not in their meetings, so we don't know. But obviously it's not an ideal situation.
And when you go to that that package where they go big nickel, how does that affect what Philadelphia does? Do the Niners have the ability to cover, especially Dallas Goedert and others, when, you know, the Eagles look to throw against that package?
Well, normally when they play big nickel, Pinnick is a second level defender, and their tendency, I think, when they play big nickel is to then play Mustafa and Brown on the back end, and Pinnick is at the second level. You know, the Eagles are an odd team because they're not a true passing team, so it's kind of an odd situation, because normally, and again, you never know in the playoffs. And by the way, the wind gusts on Sunday in Philadelphia are supposed to be 40 miles an hour. So we'll see if the pass game is even a big deal. I would bet, again, you never know until games are played. So this is just analyzing based on what we have now. But I would think that the Eagles, even though they've not run well this year, would believe that they could run the ball against the Niners. I think they'll believe they can attack the edges. The Seahawks attack the edges pretty well in that final regular season game. And I would think the Eagles, because they're a run-first team, even though they have not been anywhere near as successful this year running the ball as they were a year ago, they're a run-first team.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. All right, before we look too far into the future and Eagles-Niners, I would love to get some of your thoughts on what happened last Saturday. Why did the Niners only score 3 points? What happened when they had the ball?
Well, it's funny. Obviously, because it was the only game on, I watched it live. You know, it wasn't like a red zone deal. As soon as Seattle got the ball first and started driving, the whole feeling to me of the game changed, because the Niners are a pace and tempo offense. They're not a big play offense in the sense that they push the ball down the field in the pass game. They're a sustaining, controlling offense. And that game, to me, watching it live, felt like it was getting away from them pretty much right from the start. And then when they had the first three and out, and then Seattle marched right back down again, all of a sudden you're in the second quarter, and the Niners never seem to be able to develop any pace and tempo for the game. They can't play like that. That's not who they are. They need to be able to control the way the game is played with their offense doing that. And So, you know, it was an odd game in that regard. There was just never any sense that their offense was had any control over the way the game was being played.
So if they want to do pace and tempo against Philadelphia, looking at the Eagles' defense against the run, as I know you've watched a majority of their snaps all year, how does that match up? Can the Niners do better against Philly on the ground than they did against Seattle?
Well, Philly's got a really good defense, too. I mean, their D-tackle rotation is really good. Jordan Davis has had his best season by far. He's become a dominant run defender. Ojomo plays meaningful snaps. N'Kobe Dean's going to be back for this game. He's a full participant in practice. So the Eagles are a very, very good defense. I think over the last 8 or 9 weeks, they might be the number one scoring defense in the league. This is not an easy assignment. I mean, you know, it just, you have to talk about it the way it is based on the film. I mean, the Eagles are a very, very good defense. You know, the question is, will the Eagles play in their base defense versus the 21 personnel, or will they play more nickel because maybe they like DeJean closer to the line of scrimmage because he's a very tough physical run defender as well as a slot corner. So that's really the question for the Eagles, but their defense has played exceptionally well over the last 2 months.
Greg, let's see if we can zero in on part of the defense. Like, let's just talk about the way they stopped the run. I'm thinking of the Black Friday game. Chicago ran the ball all over them. Is there an opportunity there for the Niners? And part of that, like, let's assume Trent Williams played. You know, how much does that change what we saw last week to this week, particularly in the run game?
Well, that's a great game to bring up, and I'll tell you why. Because what I thought that the Bears did exceptionally well in that game was with the use of formations and motion. And we know that that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan is all about. It would not surprise me at all if they looked heavily at that game and how they used motion to change the run support of the Eagles' defense. Because they're, again, that was an aberration for the Eagles, but still, you have to look at tape. Tape does not lie. You know, you don't write it off. You look at the tape and you see what a team did. And I thought the Bears did a phenomenal job with pre-snap movement, creating changes in run support, creating angles, creating numbers advantages for the Bears' run game. So they'll look at that in detail, I imagine, and see how they can extrapolate some of that to what they do.
And how much of that in that game was built on what you talked about before, Greg, which was the rhythm of the offense? So Chicago had it going early. They had it going in the middle, and they kept it rolling. How important is that for Shanahan to be able to establish that?
That's a big deal because, like I said, the Niners, look, we know they're a running football team. That's the way they need their offense to work, and then they work off that. And when you play like that, there's a rhythmic feel that must be developed because you're not an offense where you're lining up saying, hey, let's call a big play and hit a 60-yarder. That's not the way you're playing. You're playing to have a sustaining feel to your offense, a rhythmic sustaining feel. And in order to do that, you've got to run plays. So it's, you know, this is not a profound statement, obviously, but first down becomes absolutely critical because the Niners aren't, you know, I know they've been great on third down since Purdy's been back. But I think at their core, they're not necessarily a get-behind-the-chains offense. Now, they've been very good on third down. So, you know, people listening might say, I don't know what I'm talking about. But at the end of the day, I think their offense is built on the fact that they can sustain, that they can stay on schedule and sustain.
Greg, let's pick this apart a little bit. Can you help our audience understand why the Eagles – have not been able to run the ball nearly as well this year as they did last year.
Well, I'm going to give you one stat just before I answer that.
That's
last
a stat.
Year, okay. Last year, think about this. It's going to blow you away.
Okay.
Last year, in the second half of all the games, okay, so that means they played 17 games. In the second half, Barkley had 322 rushes for 1,763 yards.
Whoa.
That was just in the second half. You know what his numbers are in the second half this season?
Go for it.
136 for 508.
Woo!
He has 1,250 less yards this year in the second half of games than they did a year ago. Their O-line has not been very good. That's just the reality. They've been a bottom half O-line. Last year, they were arguably the best O-line in the league. And Barkley has always had a little bit of a what's the best way to describe it? Look for the big play approach. In other words, not necessarily get the hard yards, stick it up in there. Like McCaffrey, to me, is the best 30 yards runner in the league. He sticks it up in there. He gets yards. Even if it's not really well blocked, he sticks it up in there and he gets it. Barkley's, even coming out of Penn State, Barkley was not really that guy. So it's been a combination of the O-line not being as good, and Barkley is not necessarily that kind of runner.
And yet they get in the red zone, and they're the number one most efficient red zone offense. What do you see, Greg, on tape that makes them so good in the red area?
Two things. Tush push, which, again, to me is not football, but it counts. And then they're very good. They have these, I don't want to call them gimmick plays, because in the red zone, it's not gimmicks, it's creativity. They're very creative in the low red zone, very creative.
Okay, so if you're talking
tush,
about
push and gimmicks.
Yeah.
No, I'd say creativity, not gimmicks.
Okay. So the Eagles' offensive line has been nowhere near as good. The Niners' defensive line, as we know, for all of the reasons, has not been effective either. If you put those two sort of weakened areas together, who has the edge this weekend?
Well, let's put it this way. The Eagles will attempt to run the ball because that's who they are.
Yep.
And I think they'll work the edges, because I think that that's been an area that was certainly a problem for the 49ers last week against Seattle. I think the Eagles will attack the edges. I think much of it depends on Lane Johnson. He did practice this week, but it wasn't as if he never practiced with the ones. It's my understanding he's going to give it a go. We'll see if he can truly give it a go. But I think if he's able to do that, I think they'll attack the edges. And I think that's an area that the Niners will really have to try to shore up with their DNs and with their linebackers. I mean, you know, Kendricks and Wallow, at this point, you know, you're not dealing with linebackers that have tremendous speed and lateral range.
And not a lot of experience either. And I know you're not big on criticizing play calling, so I won't ask you to do that. But when you look at the passing game for Philadelphia, it's been great at times. It's been bad at times. What do you attribute to the fact that they've been so inconsistent?
Well, for the most part, they don't really work the middle of the field between the numbers. You know, you have to remember one thing, and coaches always coach to the strengths and limitations of the quarterback. That's the way coaches work, because you can't ask quarterbacks in their mind to do things they're not good at. So Jalen Hurts does not work the middle of the field very well, so there's some limitations to their pass game. And they do work outside the numbers. Hurts can make those throws very well, but it's very difficult to live off vertical throws outside the numbers. They had unbelievable success for a couple of years, but that's a hard way to go. So their pass game's been very inconsistent.
2 years ago, Greg, the 49ers went into Philly in a November game and just completely took them apart. And one thing I remember from that game, and it was obviously a different defensive line, but they did such a good job of not over-pursuing Jalen Hurts. They didn't get a lot of sacks, but they didn't over-pursue, and they made things hard for him. This group doesn't get sacks, but can they pull the same thing off in Robert Saleh's defense and more kind of contain Jalen and try to make him a passer?
And that's a critical part of the game, because Jalen Hurts will break down and look to run, and he has morale, you know, changing runs. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
Because when it's 3rd and 9 and the quarterback runs for 15 yards, that's an issue. So that's something you absolutely have to be aware of. You know, just as on a larger point, I would say this. You're dealing with two of the best coaches at what they do in the game. You're dealing with Fangio, who's a master D coordinator, and Shanahan, who's a master offensive designer and play caller and game planner. So what a lot of these games come down to is what coaches often call unscripted looks, different looks that neither coach is expecting, because it's not on tape. And that's what I think you'll see some of in this game, just in the hope that those unscripted looks can cause a moment of hesitation on either side and create a play that, you know, again, I'm not saying it creates an 80-yard touchdown, but it creates a positive play. And, you know, there won't be 50 unscripted looks, but there'll be some.
Talk to me about Fangio. It seems like he's gotten Kyle's number when they've gone head-to-head, coordinator versus coordinator. What does he try to do? Is it man? Is it zone? Do they blitz? What are we going to expect, Greg?
Well, normally, normally Vic's not a high percentage blitz guy. They play a lot more cover one than people would think, because everybody thinks Fangio plays that quarter shell, which of course they do, and they'll start a lot of plays that way. But they have their corners play a lot of man. And it would not surprise me to see them do that in this game. It appears Ricky Pearsall will not go. The 49ers do not have a true wide receiver that is a one-on-one man beater. So it would not surprise me to see the Eagles play man with their outside corners, squeeze everything in the middle. You know, that's actually what they did in the Super Bowl against Mahomes, and the 49ers like to work the middle of the field. It would not surprise me for a second in this game if they have a template that's similar, where their outside corners match up and play man, and they squeeze everything inside to shut down and close those windows.
Okay, so talk to us about Brock Purdy's ability to handle something like that.
Well, at some point, you're going to have to work outside. Because you can't spend your time trying to throw to two guys or three guys when there's five defenders in the middle of the field. It's just hard. It comes down to can you counter some of what you do and have some routes that break outside? I think Kittle's going to have to be a big factor in the pass game, and I think you're going to have to move him around. I think you're going to have to get him split, which he's capable of doing, and see how the Eagles respond to that. Kyle Shanahan's a lot smarter than I am, guys, so he'll have something, but I don't think you can just line up, and he knows this, and just do the things you always do and just assume that you're going to get the result all the time. It may work sometimes because obviously it's situational football and it depends on down and distance and field location, but I think you're going to have some wrinkles in this game.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. As always, coming out of last week's game, there's a debate on Purdy because the team only scores 3 points, but outside of the Christian McCaffrey bobble, there's also no turnovers. So, like, what did you see on film, Greg? Did Brock play well? Was there an opportunity to play well? What did you see?
That was a really difficult game for the entire offense. I don't think Purdy as an individual played poorly. It was just one of those games where there was no rhythm at all to what they were doing. They couldn't generate any sustainability. Look, you guys know, they're a choreographed offense. They're not a playmaker offense. Can Purdy make some plays? Sure. But it's not like when things are bad he's going to be Josh Allen. They're not that kind of offense. They're an offense that requires rhythm, timing, choreography, and they could never get to that point in that game, and Purdy was just one player within all of that. But I don't think he as an individual necessarily played a bad game. It was one of those games, nothing worked.
Yeah, and they got down deep and McCaffrey had the bobble and then the interception. I wonder what you thought about McCaffrey as we are now north of 400 touches. Was it just a bad game because there were no holes, or are you seeing maybe a little bit of a slowdown for a guy?
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It was gone over 400.
That's one game. In the prior weeks, prior to that game, he's been averaging 4.5 yards a rush with Purdy and running exceptionally well. So I wouldn't look at that game that's the issue you face when we get into these conversations week to week about players, which is a pointless conversation to me.
Oh.
But that's, when you talk on the radio every day and fans listen and want to talk, that's the stuff they say. But, he'd been phenomenal prior to this. And by the way, they're playing a great defense, so they could struggle this week as well. But it's not because Christian McCaffrey in 1 week's time all of a sudden went from being really, really good to losing his ability.
Well, Greg, can I dig into that a little bit? Because before you came on, we're sitting here talking about recency bias and the idea that I hear a lot of people analyzing this Niner-Eagle game solely based on what they saw the Niners do last week. What are the chances? Like, compare Seattle and Philly defensively? And what are the chances the Niners struggle to that level again?
There's a good chance they'll struggle. This is a great defense. And in fact, the defensive tackle position for the Eagles is really, really good. I mean, it's Carter is playing at a high level. Jordan Davis has had the best season of his career. He's become a dominant run stuffer. Ojomo's playing really well. There are two stack backers, Bond and Dean. Dean is back. They're really good players. This is not an easy defense to play against. Could the Niners struggle to run the ball? Without question, they could struggle to run the ball. But that doesn't mean that Christian McCaffrey can't play anymore. You know, this is just a really good defense.
Yeah, no, I understand that. The other thing in looking at last week is the play of the Niners' offensive line. It was obvious that Purdy was under duress for a lot of it. Does Trent potentially kind of change that, or do you think this is a bad matchup for the Niners again in that spot?
Well, I think it's a tough matchup inside. If Trent Williams can play and be Trent Williams, and I guess we don't know the answer to that, it just gives them so many more options in their run game on the perimeter, whereas they don't really have those options with Pleasance there. But inside, it's a tough matchup for the interior three of the 49ers O-line. I mean, that Eagles D-line, those D-tackles are really tough. Look, it's the playoffs. It's a tough matchup.
Yep.
Doesn't mean they can't go in and win, guys. I don't want to make it seem like, oh, they're going to get shut out. Oh. But all I'm saying is, we can't look at this like the players all of a sudden stink. They're playing against a really good team. They just played against a really good defense as well. They may be playing against two of the three best defenses in the league. Put Houston in that category as well. So, you know, it's the playoffs. These things can happen. You know, they're going to have to find a way to move the ball. But if you're looking about mano-on-mano matchups, there's some matchups here that favor Philly.
Okay, so that leads us to the moment we've all been waiting for, Greg Cosell's big pick of the week. All right, Greg, Eagles, Niners, what's happening here?
I'm not picking this one, guys.
Why?
you know, it's first of all, I think the weather's going to be a factor.
I think we all know why, yeah.
The weather's going to be a factor? Okay.
They're talking 40-mile-an-hour gusts. It's going to be, you know, I would expect this game, unless run game is a big factor positively for each team, I would, and turnovers, you never know about turnovers,
right,
so
right.
I never go there because you just never know. I would not see this game as a high scoring game.
Huh.
I mean, in some ways I would see this being played out similarly to the last game when they played Seattle. Now again, I could be dead wrong, who knows?
Yep.
But you know, it's going to be hard to really, I think, throw the ball, you know, down the field in this game. So we'll see. But, you know, look, the bottom line is it is hard to win at the link in January. Can the Niners do so? Yes. But they're going to have to find a way to run the football with some kind of sustainability.
Niners six.
Bang the under.
Yeah, Niners six, Eagles three. You heard it from Greg. Greg, as always, great stuff, man.
Thanks,
thank you so much.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. He's the best.